welcome to one of our summer 2013 House of Comments specials. As you know, House of Comments have gone on holiday for the summer, but we didn't want to leave you, Alex, with nothing. So we are dripping out these specials slowly over the summer to keep you with your regular fix. My name is Emma Burnell, by the way, author of the Scarlet Standard blog, and I'm delighted to be joined today by General Secretary of the Labour Party, Ian McNicol. Hi, Ian.
Hi, Emma.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's an absolute pleasure.
We are recording on July the 18th, just for people's awareness. So if there's anything that's come up after that that Ian and I don't cover, it's not because we're avoiding any issues. It's simply a matter of when we record it.
Yep.
So Ian, you were appointed almost exactly, I believe it's 2 years ago tomorrow.
It is, yeah.
So what made you want the job in the first place? And has it lived up to your expectations?
Well, let's deal with the easy one, first of all, which is the second one. It has absolutely lived up to and surpassed all of my expectations. Why I wanted it? Really, really good question. It was about changing the Labour Party. Mm-hmm. And there is so much that we can do and so much that needs to happen. The Labour Party's biggest asset is our members, our supporters, our activists and our representatives. And the one thing that New Labour absolutely understood was that the party needed to go through a modernisation. And we did that, 95, 96, through until 97. But the thing that didn't happen and should have happened is that post our second victory in 2001, we could have and should have modernised again. Mm-hmm. The centralised command and control that operated across the party was necessary and was right for the time. But after our second election victory, we should have opened up the party and done many of the things that we've been able to do over the last 2 years. So if that had happened and we had built that respect, empowerment, engagement with our members and supporters, I think some of those problems that came about in the second part of the 13 years could have been avoided and we could have won in 2010. So with us losing in 2010, with Ed Miliband being elected, I saw it as a fantastic opportunity to come in and work with our staff, with our members, supporters, politicians, to rebuild and reconnect the Labour Party across the country.
You're talking about membership empowerment. How does that work?
Okay, well, let's start with some of the bigger problems across the world of politics and people's engagement with politics, and then bring it on to the members. So politicians, political parties, never been seen in such a bad regard by the general public. And there's a number of reasons, a number of issues that have led to that. Probably the most recent one, two political parties going out to the public in a general election saying, here's our manifestos, and then within 5 days basically changing and rewriting their manifestos. So that trust in politics, the wider body politics, needs to be rebuilt. Mm-hmm. And it's important, the language and the direction that Ed is taking us in. But that needs to be complemented by how the democracy of the Labour Party works, how we engage with our members and supporters, and more than that, how we rebuild that politics. And that can be done far more effectively at a local level. And it isn't anything new. If you look at some of our best campaigners, our best politicians who go out and engage with their local communities across their constituencies, many of them have bucked the trends. Mm. They should have lost in 2005, possibly 2010, but they didn't because they were connected. And that's the work and one of the reasons that I'm asked and work with Arne Graf. Because his community organising is exactly where we need to be. And that fulfils two functions. It's about picking campaigns and issues the local constituencies, local parties, members, supporters, and people who are not engaged with the Labour Party can get involved in and run and campaign on. And if we can win some of those, we can then take the message back to the wider communities and say, look, this is what we delivered when we weren't in power. Imagine what we can do if we have a councillor here, or we have an MP here, or we're running the country. So rebuilding that trust in politics. And the second side of it is about building capacity. For us to win in 2015, we're going to need a very strong broadcast national delivery. We're going to need to be on the button, on the money with the digital work that we're doing. And we've invested in that with working with Blue State Digital. Mm-hmm. And yesterday I'm director of digital to come in and work with the team and build the team even bigger and even better. Nation Builder is part of that, given tools that local constituencies can use. I was actually quite surprised that the Labour Party doesn't have a fully integrated local, regional, national database that allows us to work with, engage and encourage volunteers to take actions to support the party. Nation Builder will start to provide that. And that should all culminate in, you know, the back end of 2014, going into 2015, with us having more people involved and engaged who will go out and campaign, who will go out and do the voter ID work, who will talk to, you know, their neighbours and the organisations within their community. And then the closer we get to the election, we'll do the GOTV work, the get out the vote work, that can help turn those differential percentages around and win us seats that we need to do. So the other, sorry, I'm not going on a little bit.
No, fine.
The other bit that sort of fits with that is the investment that the Labour Party has made on the back of refounding Labour and looking after our finances.
I mean, our finances are a perennial issue. I know that that's something that we've had to worry about for quite some time. And there are some concerns that the recent announcements might impact on that. Yeah. Is that something that you're looking at going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's worth starting with the principles that Ed Miliband outlined in his speech and where he wants to take the party. And I think for many of us, that one of those biggest frustrations was in many constituencies, there are thousands, if not into the tens of thousands, of trade union members in an individual constituency. And what Ed's saying is that those trade union members who pay the political levy should be asked if they want that affiliation to go to directly to the Labour Party. And then the Labour Party can work with them and build a direct relationship with them so that they are members, whether it's associate members or affiliated members, are members of the Labour Party and can be engaged and involved in the campaigns, in the organisation, so that we can help deliver those 106 battleground seats. The one thing that I just want to sort of finish on from the last point is in October this year, we will have in place over 100 organisers, and that's our regional organisers, our trainee organisers, our campaigns officers, our part-funded local organisers, all coming together, working in and across those key seats, and there'll be over 100 of them, which is a fantastic place to be, you know, 18, 19 months out from a general election.
What we've been seeing from the Tories, and what I actually wrote about today on Labour List, is that the Tories are quite determined to run a very negative campaign over the next 18 months, 2 years. How do we counter that?
So we counter that in a couple of different ways. The first goes back to the two earlier answers about building capacity and about building our organisation so that we have the Labour Party members, our supporters, those who are willing to help us, engaged and active and involved in their local communities, so that the issues that we are picking up, that we are dealing with, are issues that affect them, their friends, their neighbours and their families round about them. And that needs to be very positive. It needs to be about a vision for what Britain will look like under an Ed Miliband premiership and under a Labour government in 2015. The interesting thing that we're starting to see from the Conservatives just now, you're right, is a very negative attack mode on us. And I think that is on the back of Lyndon Crosby coming in. He tried to do it in Australia, sometimes successfully, sometimes not successfully. He's tried to do it here, again, sometimes successfully, sometimes not successfully. But I think he's a clear objective that what they want to do is basically attack Ed Miliband personally. I don't know if you've seen the latest video they've done, a new video, a 40-second video attacking Ed. And then the other issues that they want us to fight and to campaign under the agenda that they set. What we need to do is obviously rebut those attacks and deal with them very quickly and factually. But what we also need to do is have a campaign that is around our issues and our vision for the future. And that needs to be a positive campaign and a positive set of issues and a positive vision. And it's interesting, in my conference speech last year, there was a bit that was pulling together for it. And one of the things that struck us was that the Conservatives are always looking backwards to that bygone era that was fantastic and was amazing. And it's the Labour movement, the Labour Party, who are the progressives looking forward and looking to build a better Britain, a fairer Britain, and a future that's going to be stronger and better for our children and grandchildren going forward. So that sort of juxtaposition between them always looking backwards, and we see that just now, you know, always looking backwards, whether it's the health service review, which actually largely focused on the last 3 years.
Indeed.
But their frame for that was a personal attack on Andy Burnham, Shadow Health Secretary. And again, you know, the similarities with America and what the Republicans did against John Kerry.
Absolutely.
What John Kerry's strongest campaigning areas was his history and the fact that he had two Purple Hearts. And the Republicans went heavy and hard against that. And I think we're seeing that again. So to answer your question, we need to rebut quickly with across all of the different channels, television, radio, printed, print, newspapers, but also on, don't forget,
blogs.
I was just about to say, social and digital and blogs and comment pages as well. Mm-hmm. So that people are furnished with what the facts actually are. And when you look at the facts on these issues, you know, then there's a stark contrast between the spin that they are putting out and what the reality actually is.
Absolutely. You have a strong union background yourself. You were with the GMB for many years. I'm very much in favour. I've been a member of Unite for a very long time. I've previously worked in the union movement. There has been some controversy about the moves that Ed Miliband has announced. I don't believe this is a break with the link, but it's a strengthening of the link to every member of the unions. Would you agree, and how would you... I mean, you've talked about how we bring union members in local constituencies, but how do we continue our national conversation with the unions?
I think the national conversation will continue and needs to continue. You know, the trade union movement represents I'm millions of working people and is a voice for them. You know, when people join trade unions, they know what they're getting on the back of that. So that national engagement and, you know, some of the areas that I'm most proud about is the work that we did on mesothelioma and asbestosis. And it was when Tony Blair was Prime Minister, mm-hmm. and those issues about, you know, people whose lungs were scarred because asbestos and dust had ripped and scarred their lungs. The insurance way of dealing with it was, well, you needed to prove which, you know, where you were working, when you were working, which caused it. And it was Tony Blair that made those changes. Mm-hmm. So there are many good areas, whether it's on health and safety, you know, a whole host of areas where the trade unions campaign and the trade unions in representing their members have an absolute democratic right to engage and involve themselves in the political decisions of this country. The important thing is Ed's language, because this will be spun whichever way it suits the individual who wants to frame it. Ed was very clear in his speech and in the article he wrote the weekend before, mm-hmm. and this was about mending the trade union link, not ending it. And, you know, the structures that the Labour Party operates in just now, you know, would not be amiss to the structures that were there in, you know, 1906, 1907. Yes, there's been some changes, but this is about the Labour Party building that and involving and engaging those trade union members up and down the country and getting them active and involved in our campaign. And so I absolutely don't see it as I'm breaking the link. You know, there's going to be a consultation that comes forward over the coming months. That consultation cannot and will not be with a number of the key figures within the trade union movement. It needs to be with the wider trade union members. It needs to be, crucially, with Labour Party members, with our activists, so that we can build a way forward that allows us to get the most out of it for everyone.
Moving to a slightly different area, a little bit of more background on yourself. If you weren't General Secretary of the Labour Party, if you could be anything in the world other than General Secretary of the Labour Party, what would you be?
I'd be a chef.
Oh, really? You're a good cook?
I'm okay. But if I wasn't being a chef, I grew up on a farm on the west coast of Scotland. And, you know, the first week of the holidays were up there. My dad's still on the farm and it's just absolutely beautiful. And I do miss it. So, you know, I would happily be a smallholder or a farmer. Absolutely love being outdoors. And my qualification that I did at college is as a building manager. So, you know, I spent time on building sites working there. So happy doing any of those three areas. So I'm black belt in karate. So
wow.
I do.
Won't make you cross then.
The reason I started doing it was basically to get fit so that I could run away if anything did happen. I really enjoy that. I don't get to do enough of it just now, but, you know, when I move on, I'll definitely go back. And the Japanese style that I do is one of the traditional styles with a fantastic sensei called Kanazawa. So, you know, I'm passionate about that, and I'd actually like to teach that. So I've got a bit of a passion in doing that. Okay. And what else? The difficulty just now is just the time that the job takes. So, you know, as much time with family and friends as possible. I've got, you know, two sort of 11, 13-year-old kids who are just amazing and love spending time with them. So that's what gets me up in the morning, apart from getting up to win in 2015. The opportunity to win in 2015 and do something that the Labour Party hasn't done before, that one term into opposition, turn it round and a Labour government at the end of it. You know, our society, our country needs to change, and I believe we've got a great opportunity to do that.
I have one last question.
Okay.
It's just a little bit of a curveball.
Yep.
What is the one thing that you've learned that only a general secretary could know?
That's a really good question. I don't know the answer to it. I'll tell you, there's one thing that I've learned over the last 2 years, and that's more just about management. And the most important thing is not the structures. It's not how it looks on a piece of paper. It's not an organogram. It's the people, and having the right people in the right jobs with an absolute commitment and vision to work as a team in terms of where you want to go. I suppose one of the things that I've learned actually is not trying to move out of the tactical into the strategic. All of our jobs in the world of politics are very, very busy. Mm. A lot of it is media driven, about what's tomorrow's headlines, what's in the news tomorrow, what's on the front pages. The most important thing is about making sure that strategy is in place to take us through to 2015, 2016 in Scotland and Wales, and then on to 2020 to the next general election. So it's about being strategic rather than tactical. But it's not just me that knows that. There's many, many other people who know that as well. But it's about making sure you've got the space and the time to do that and to work that through.
Okay, Ian, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been really enlightening. And I look forward to watching your progress. I'd also like to thank Audioboo for hosting this podcast and Kevin McLeod at incompetech.com for our funky theme music.